You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you warmly here today. Thank you for joining us here today. God bless you. Happy Thursday to you. Hey, weekend's right around the corner. What better way to get prepared for it than to sit under the Word of God here today? Let's let the Word of God speak. It's going to be a great day, and it's going to be even better about 28 minutes from now when we soak in the Word of God and do what He says. His instructions today is going to come out of the book of Romans, chapter 12, where He says, I beseech you, or I plead with you, the Greek word parakalo, I implore you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that is, in light of all that God's done for you in your life, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Certainly, there's nothing unreasonable about that. When you look at all that God has done for you in your life, the Apostle Paul says this is your reasonable service. After all that He's done, let's live the rest of our time serving Him. We are ambassadors for Christ, Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as though God was pleading through us. So that's where we're at here today. We are in Romans chapter 12. Today, this will wrap up tomorrow. I invite you guys to church this weekend. We'd love to see you Sunday morning. We're resuming our study in the book of Acts. We'll be looking at a husband and wife team named Ananias and Sapphira, who the Apostle Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, instantly ended their lives for lying to God. Wow, imagine if that happened today. That's where we're going to be Sunday morning at 10:30. You are invited. We'd love to see you. Matter of fact, I'll let this opening play on Friday as well. So if it's Friday, we're heading into the weekend here. I invite you guys to church again. We would love to see you Sunday morning, 10:30. If you are new to the area, if you're looking for a new church home for whatever reason, the word, as it says on our church sign out front, the Word of God is preached here. If you tune into this program, you know what I mean by that. You are invited. We would love to see you. Okay, we're in Romans chapter 12, living sacrifices. Romans chapter 12, that's where we're at. Let's pray before we get started. Lord God, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for the faithful people like Donna and Sue and all of the others that helped to build this church, that someone caught that vision from you to plant a church, Island Community Church, as it's known now, right here in this community. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the great work that you're doing here through this church, here in this community, Lord. We pray here in 2026 you continue to use us. Use us, Lord. We volunteer like Isaiah. We said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use us here to be a blessing, which we believe is these end of days here in this country and in this world. Use us to help to fill these remaining seats here in the kingdom. Speak to us here today. Bless this sermon. Bless your word as it's preached here today and taught. We listen for your voice. Help us to be doers of your word, not just hearers today. Lord, we pray for those that are visiting here today too. May they experience too in a special way that you've taken up residence here in this sanctuary, and that when people come here, they hear from you, and that the power to change is present here in this church. We praise and exalt you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're in Romans chapter 11 is where we're at. As we were talking about Israel, that's where we left off here. My last two sermons have been What's Up with Israel, part one and part two. Now, today we'll see the conclusion of the matter. If you remember, we left off with the fact that God's plan for Israel won't resume until God's plan for you and your friends and family ends. Now, contemplate that this morning. Let me say that again. God's plan for Israel won't resume until God's plan for you and your family and friends ends. I mean, don't be surprised by that. We look at that every week around here. Why do you think the word today is even in your Bible? Or the word now? We've looked at, how many years have we looked at that in here? Jim? 5 years and counting? The Holy Spirit keeps pointing on the word today, if you hear His voice. Because God's got a plan with Israel, and His plan for Israel doesn't resume until His plan for us is over and done. And that's why you read the things that you read in the Bible. Luke 13, 24, strive to enter through the narrow gate, because many, I say to you, many will try to get in and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door. Once the door is shut, he picks up and resumes where he left off with Israel. So that's what we're looking at. Let's pick it up here today in Romans chapter 11. Let's pick it up here in verse 25. I think most or all of these verses are on the handout if you don't have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible and if you'd like one, speak to me after the service. I've got one wide margin Bible left in my office. If you need one, you come talk to me afterwards. Romans 11, 25. Here we go. It says, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. You ever met somebody like that? I'm right, I'm always right, and that's all there is to it, right? Wise in my own opinion. He says, don't be that way. I'm telling you, he says, don't be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Some translations say, lest you be conceited. Now he tells you why. It's a truth, a mystery no one's ever heard before. So there's no room to be arrogant. You've never heard. It's a mystery. You've never heard it before. How can you be arrogant? You've never heard this before. That blindness, I'm still in verse 25. Blindness, Greek word porosis, like osteoporosis, when a callus grows on your bones and your bones get all brittle and soft. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until. I said 2 weeks ago, that word until, that's the most tragic word in all of the Bible. At least for you it is. Maybe your son or daughter or nephew or your friend at your job. Blindness, that's porosis. In part, that's not every Jew, has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Or as the NIV reads, which in this case is more accurate because they do a better job at capturing what the Apostle Paul's trying to say. It says blindness or a partial hardening has happened to Israel until, the NIV says, the full number of the Gentiles has come in, which I'm sorry to inform you this morning means what it says. And our lives should reflect that, that this means what it says. The spiritual stupor that has happened to Israel, which God Himself, that's chapter 11, verse 7, in case you're wondering, this is not brought on by Satan. No, God's done this Himself. This spiritual stupor will continue until the last Gentile has come into the kingdom of God. And a person enters into that kingdom of God by believing and receiving in his Son, Jesus Christ. He himself said, I am the door. All who enter in by me shall be saved. There's only one way in, and that's through his Son. And once that, good for you. That's all right, you see, I come prepared. Don't tell me, I don't need that little old gavel. Once that last Gentile has entered in through the portal, which leads to eternal life, once that last Gentile has entered in, then, as the Bible warns, the door will be shut. And imagine that. What is this is the 11th of January, right? 11th of January, year of our Lord, 2026. Imagine that happening in your lifetime. After all these years, since Confucius to Nero to Moses to your grandmother. All of that ending right now. Imagine that in our lifetime. Blindness has happened to Israel until the full number. See, there's a number that's known only to God. And once that number is hit, read about it. Luke 13, 24, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 12, parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready, 5 weren't. Those that were ready went inside to the feast. Those that weren't, the Bible says the door was shut on them. Imagine that in your lifetime. Now, personally, if you ask me for my personal opinion, I think this is going to happen in your lifetime. That's my opinion. At least in the lifetime of your children or these grandchildren, these kids that we have here every week. I would be very surprised if this does not happen in their lifetime. Then on to verse 26. He says, and so all Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Remember what the word covenant means. Diatheke is the Greek word. It means a testament or, to use a legal term, a deposition. When you go in and they turn that tape recorder on and you got to go and put your hand down, your other hand up, you give a deposition, you swear to something. This is testament, covenant, the declaration of God's unconditional promise to make Abraham and his offspring the recipient of certain blessings. In this case, and God says, this is my covenant with them when, catch the two words, this and when, this and when, this is my covenant when I take away their sins. And that will take place once perhaps your son or daughter, maybe your mother or father, or that co-worker of yours that God keeps putting on your heart lately, maybe even you, takes their seat in the kingdom of God. And it's a number, it's not a time period. It's a number. Perhaps that's why Jesus said in Mark 13, 32, that he didn't know when. He says he didn't know. Read it for yourself. Mark 13, 32, he says he doesn't know when he's coming back. It's not on a day. It's a number. He's waiting on us. That's why Peter said we can speed up the day. We can hasten the day of his return by being God's hands and feet out here in the world today. Now back again to verse 26. It says, and so all Israel will be saved as it is written. All right, first of all, he's talking national Israel. He's not saying every Jewish person in the world is going to be saved, which reminds me, I forgot to give this to you. If you guys have a pen, write down these four verses, which belong on your handout, which I have after I already made this. Sorry, but Revelation 14:1. Revelation 14, verse 1. Hebrews 12:22. So, Revelation 14:1. Hebrews 12:22. 1 John 3:14. And Zechariah, Old Testament prophet, Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. Now, Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9, God says that one-third of the nation of Israel, one-third will be saved. The other two-thirds are going to perish. Book, chapter, and verse, Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. One-third, I will see them through the fire. So he doesn't mean every last Jewish person's going to be saved. He's talking national Israel when he says this. Then he says, the deliverer will come out of Zion. Now those are the other verses I just gave you. That is, this is the new Jerusalem. Zion is in heaven. Okay? Revelation 14, 1, Hebrews 12, 22. When he says the deliverer will come out of Zion, Zion is the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, not the one here on earth. It's a copy of the original. It's up there. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So God's sworn deposition is this. He loves Israel, and he has plans for them, and it's not based on what you see. Neither is it based on them. But it's based on, what's that Greek word? Prothesis, remember? It's based on the thesis of God. That word means God's purpose. Paul continues, verse 28. Now concerning the gospel, speaking of Israel. Now concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning election, I remember election. I wrote here next to this God's voting booth. Remember, to be elected, it's like God went into his voting booth, pulled down the curtain there, flicked that little lever in there that had your name on it, opened it up, and walked out. And what else is there in this galaxy other than that? God's flicked your name in there, and he's walked out of his booth. That's all I need to know. How about you? To use one of my favorite sayings, look out, world. God's chosen me. I don't need anything. That is let that be the wind in your sail today. So concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. That just about sums everything up, doesn't it? Concerning the gospel, the Jews are your enemies. They certainly were Paul's enemies. They persecuted him wherever he went, every day of his life, every day of his ministry at least. The Jews were the greatest obstacle and the greatest thorn in the side of Christianity ever. Starting with insisting on the death of the Son of God. We read in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, you became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and they've persecuted us, and they do not please God, and they're contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles so that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. And there you have the present condition of the nation of Israel. Wrath has come upon them, the Bible says, to the uttermost. until the last Gentile takes his seat in the kingdom of God. Then he says in verse 29, he says, for the gifts and the calling of God are, look what it says, irrevocable. Thank God for that. Isn't that good news? The gifts of God are irrevocable, meaning God is not a fair-weather giver of gifts who takes them back at the first sign of imperfection. Also, the calling of God is irrevocable. Greek word is ametamaletos, which means God does not change his mind because you've had a bad day. Amen to that. God doesn't change his mind because you've had a bad year. God doesn't change his mind because you've had a bad decade. But God's gone into his booth. He has flicked your name. He's opened that curtain, and that's all there is. That's all she wrote. He doesn't change his mind based on you and anything that you do. They are irrevocable, and your salvation is irrevocable. The calling of God is irrevocable. Let me say it once again. All of this is not based on your performance. It's based on the man in the glory. It's based on him. His thesis, it's a prothesis, that is, it's written in advance, and it's complete. It's complete. Now, knowing that now, the author of this letter is starting to get excited, as I am, hopefully you are as well, excited because I'm in the book, my name's in the book, and no fool and no devil and no Pastor Paul can take me out of it. Verse 30, for as you were once disobedient to God, yet of now you've obtained mercy through their disobedience, their being Israel. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience. Boy, talk about being committed. I mean, that's like being in time out for 2,000 years. We've been committed. God's committed us. And he's committed us to what? Disobedience. Like a child in time out. He has committed them all. And now he shows you the reason why. Keep reading. He has committed them all to disobedience so that he might have mercy on everyone. Now, verse 33, he's excited now. Look out, world. Starts with the word, oh. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. And how untraceable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Now he's going to quote Job chapter 36 and 41. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who was first given to him and it should be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. And the church said, amen to that. Of him, through him, to him are all things. Church, let's praise his holy name here today in his house. All to him I owe. Look at what he's done. Now, in view of everything that we've just looked at, in view of all that we've learned, we now come to chapter 12. And where do we go from here? And in light of all this, there it is up there. How shall we live? Let's see what his next instructions are
after revealing all this, like coming down from a mountain, after hitting this great peak of excitement, where do we go from here? We're coming down from the mountain, and we're now coming down into the, as Oswald Chambers would call it, the demon-possessed valley. Where do we go from here? Verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore. All right, naturally, he starts it with a therefore. That's what the therefore is there for. All right? He's tying these two together here now. I beseech you, therefore. Then he hits us with this Greek word, parakalo. It means, I plead with you. Or, I strongly, strongly urge you. By the mercies of God, that is, in light of all that the Lord has done for you, all that he's done to you, I plead with you by how good that God has been to you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So he says, present your bodies to God. That would be, here I am, Lord. Here I am, alive from the dead. Here I am. Present your bodies. Paul, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, Paul. Here I am. Present yourself. Present yourself to him as someone that's alive from the dead. In light of all that God's done for you. In light of all that he's done. After all you've done in my life, here I am. Praise God, I'm not who I used to be. Here I am. In light of all that, present yourself, he says, a living sacrifice as opposed to a dead sacrifice. All sacrifices were dead in the Bible. Not when it comes to you. You present yourselves alive, a living sacrifice. Holy, he says. That means set apart from this evil world and devoted to him. And acceptable, that is acceptable to God, not just you. Those are two different things. What you think is acceptable and what's acceptable to him. I'm reminded of the woman with the alabaster flask. She broke it, and it was 2 years worth of income, and poured it on Jesus' head. That might not be something that you would do, but that's the kind of sacrifice that's acceptable to him. Your best. In light of all that God's done, this woman broke that and anointed him for burial with it. Everyone that didn't understand it gave her a hard time over it. In light of all that God's done, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Then he says, your reasonable service. There's nothing unreasonable about you now living for him in light of all that he's done for you. There's nothing unreasonable with that. How is it unreasonable that God would ask you to be his hands and feet here on earth in light of all that he's done in your life? What's unreasonable about that?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent with today's question. It's about John the Baptist. You expect secular magazines and cable networks to question the identity of Jesus. In fact, they're still searching for the so-called historical Jesus. Well, John the Baptist didn't question the historical Jesus, but from prison he did ask him this question.